Good morning.
Parashat
HaShavua, Parashat Beshalach. I heard a very interesting lecture in Shabbos from the chief rabbi of Petach Tikva. I've been there for Shabbos. And he asked a very interesting question. Why do we call Yetziat Mitzrayim, Yetziat Mitzrayim?
I thought of that the other day.
No? You've got an answer?
I didn't have an answer.
So at least you've got the question. Isn't it? The halfway to the answer is the question. Yetziat, I'm meaning, what is Yetziat Mitzrayim in English?
Exodus from Egypt.
What did you say?
Exodus from Egypt.
That's not what we say. We say Yetziat Mitzrayim. We don't say Yetzia mi Mitzrayim. It's very interesting. We say Yetziat Mitzrayim. Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim. Yetziat Mitzrayim. If you say Yetziat Mitzrayim, if you want to literally understand, Yetzia shel Mitzrayim.
That's right, absolutely.
In other words, it's not Yetziat Israel mi Mitzrayim.
Mitzrayim exited.
In other words, it's an exit. But it's an exit on the other side, all around. So in other words, Yetziat Mitzrayim means, if we want to think about it, that the problem was not of Am Yisrael getting out of Egypt, it's taking Egypt out of Am Yisrael. And that's why even we call it everywhere Yetziat Mitzrayim. Because it's not Yetziat Israel mi Mitzrayim. It's Yetziat Mitzrayim. It's very interesting to think about it. Here, by the way, if we're already talking about this, he asked a very interesting question. We all know that we receive the Torah later on. But we're already getting four mitzvahs before we're going out of Egypt. We have, what are the four mitzvahs, by the way?
The
Korban Pesach. Rosh Chodesh. You have the Brit Milah also, the Brit Milah.
Brit Milah was before, no?
No, before. Before it was Avram Avinu, they didn't get it.
It's not Brit Milah in Israel.
No, they are not a nation yet. They will come to this point. That's exactly the point. You see, till now, because the first Rashi of Bereshit says, why is the Torah starting from Bereshit instead of starting of the first mitzvah? And what is the first mitzvah is mentioning there? Achodesh Azel Lachem. You know, 1 minute. But there were a few mitzvahs before. We all know there were a few mitzvahs before. Gidon Asher, Brit Milah, what Avram got. The difference is that till now they are not a nation. They are people, a group of people, tribes. But they're not a nation, they're not Am Israel, they're Bnei Israel. So the first mitzvah that they get as Am Israel is the minute they get out of Egypt or Egypt getting out of them. In other words, when they really understand that there is a God, they believe in God, and in a minute we see it's not so simple. Unfortunately,
did Pharaoh call us a nation?
No, Bnei Israel. We all the time with Bnei Israel.
No, Pharaoh himself.
When he says, when he's chasing, by the way, he's chasing the Am Israel, he says, he's talking about an Am. But one of the interesting explanations is it's not the Am that we think Am Israel, it's his own people that went along with Am Israel. Why? Because the problem is they released Am Israel as slaves. That's a fact. That's, by the way, one of the reasons that Am Israel want to go back. Because they think now we're going back, we are going to be patriarch, we are going to be the lords, we are going to be kings and princes again. Why? Because no more they were not slaves anymore. All the Egyptians saw all these big miracles of our God. So if we just take out of the cedar Tzion and a few other things, it's no problem with the Goy. They will love us and they will cherish us and they will put us in front of them. And as we know, it doesn't work like this. But that's what they thought. So getting back to Egypt was always a factor. But now we understand that the idea of Egypt is Tuma. The idea of Egypt is that they were so in the Tuma that, unfortunately, we see the Hamushim Yatzu Bnei Israel. Only one of five, 20% got out of Egypt, which means 80% stayed in Egypt. It's frightening. The number is frightening.
Wait, they say or they died, maybe?
They died. Yeah. That's what they say in Machat Choshech. But you see, dying by Machat Choshech, in the darkness.
Why?
Because they didn't want to get out of it. Yes, because it's very interesting. The last parasha. Al smachma? I'll tell you in a minute. He say kol tzivot Israel. God took out kol tzivot Israel in Mitzrayim. What is kol tzivot Israel? He took tzivot Israel. What is the meaning kol? And were they all tzaddikim? We going to see in our parasha, in next parasha, they're not all tzaddikim. There are a lot of problems there. And not everybody believes in the proper way of believing. So, what exactly took them out of Egypt? If they're not tzaddikim. If they go with idols into the sea. V'amayim lahem choma. See, once when they go in, it's choma with vav. When they go out, it's choma without a vav. Chema. The water want to go on Am Yisrael because they tell God, 1 minute, what's going on here? You know, after all the miracles you're doing them, they are still going inside with idols? The Pesel of Micha, the famous statue of Micha. So, what was happening is, God gave a chance and another chance to everybody to get out of Egypt. And by the way, he didn't ask them to be Haredim, he didn't ask them to be even Chardalnikim, and not even Dati Leumi. What he asked them to be is Leumi. I want you to have the will to get out of Egypt. And if you have this will, you are already on my side. You are the part of the army. The same as in the army, you have special units, and you have Jobnikim, and you have those who, they go there because they have to go there. Yes, sorry.
At the time of the Machat Choshech, it was only Bachshava they didn't know about. There was no action yet. So why were they punished? For something they didn't do yet.
What? They didn't want to... 1 minute.
What? I mean, just because someone doesn't want, is it army punishing?
Doesn't want, is that, it means it doesn't want to go in the way of God. He wants to stay with the Egyptians.
But there was no action at this point.
It is an action.
It's not an action.
They don't want to go.
So, just because you don't want to do something doesn't mean you're already punished?
You have mitzvot taseh, you have mitzvot lo taseh. So if you don't do the mitzvot that they are lo taseh, well, what do you mean? So you're okay?
If they left behind because they didn't want to go and they stay, then they were killed, I can understand, but they were killed in advance. How is that possible?
You understand. If now I'm talking with people and I'm asking them, we're going to have a holiday now. Who wants to come? So a few say we're going to come. So I know for sure those are going to come, those don't want to come. Exactly the same stage was in Egypt. We have to understand. We're talking about people that live among the Egyptians, that are part of the Egyptian society. They are mingled between them, and then God comes and gives them. We're not talking about those who separated themselves for all the years from the Egyptians. We have to understand what we're talking about. We're talking about coming to the United States today and tell those who are, let's say, sometimes second generation of not exactly Jewish, but they're from a Jewish origin, or because they had the chance. Everybody could come and become a part of Am Yisrael. The Arab Rav also joined Am Yisrael going out. But there was a group of people, a very big group of people, that didn't want to go out.
They weren't slaves?
They were not slaves anymore.
They weren't slaves at all?
They were not slaves anymore. Nothing. It's finished in the beginning of the year already.
They forgot about
them. That's, by the way, the reason that also Am Yisrael, which were going out of Egypt, all the time, what do they say?
Let's go back.
Well, they're crazy or something? There were slaves there, but they're not slaves anymore.
It's like now, the big Israeli community went back to
Arab. You know what he's asking?
Went back and living in Germany.
Berlin.
Yes.
Well. Yeah. You know what it is? If you think about what he's asking, what he said now, that means they were punished before anything happened. That's what you're saying.
But you see, the punishment is not exactly an idea of punishment. The idea is very simple. You want to be a part of Am Yisrael, you come with us. You don't want to be a part of Am Yisrael, that's it, finished. And by the way, I just want to say, when we talk about death and life in the spiritual perspective, and this is, by the way, that's what we learn from the Torah. The Torah is not a story. When we talk about the being dead, the dead that's finished from our point of view, they don't exist for Am Yisrael anymore. If they're exactly were physical killed, it doesn't matter. It's not our problem. The fact is that only 20% got out of Egypt. That's the fact.
All these men are going to say Kaddish, and your general always end up going down to just to say Kaddish. For them, they were dead.
Because it's dead.
It's like
that. So to get this, to have an argument about if they really got like physical dead or spiritual dead, doesn't matter. Because if you mingle with the Goy, you are dead. You're not there anymore. You're not Jewish. You're not a Jew anymore. So it doesn't really matter if it is physically dead or spiritual. And we see, by the way, on the way on, when they're going on, it's not finishing. They're complaining all the time. You know, by the way, I started to write the Dvar Torah for next Shabbos. And, you know, we're talking in the end of flash of Amalek. Who is Amalek? Who is Amalek? Amalek is inside of us. And I must tell you, I met Amalek last week. I met him. No, I'm talking seriously. Not in Germany. Here in Eretz Israel. I met Amalek. Amalek is everywhere. And this, I'll tell you a story. It's unbelievable. Really unbelievable. A guy from Nazareth wants me to come. Me and my son, we came there to give him an offer. He's got this Michlala school for quite a few hundred students, and he wants to refurnish the whole place. He redone, he put 5 million shekel into it already. And we went there. We come to Nazareth, and we meet this guy. He's got 3 doctorates, one in philosophy, the other one, I think, in English, and the other one in biochemistry or something like this. This guy was in an ego trip. You know, unbelievable. Was talking about himself. He's a real atheist. Doesn't believe in God. He's saying, like, this plague you've got now, the corona, it's a scam of the medicine firms that they just put and a few people and put this
virus.
This virus on them. And now it's going to spread. And then they already got the antidotes. Then they're going to come out with the medicine. And they're going to make millions. That's what I'm not talking. That's what he's telling me. That's among other things. And
it's logical.
You see? That's exactly the problem. That's Amalek. That's his Amalek. If you for a minute think that God is not above everything, that's the problem. This guy, I'm painting as a hobby. So I saw him painting. And immediately he showed me that he paints also. He also plays the piano. And he does this. He's got 3 pets. He lives in London, by the way. He's got a house in London. And he lives here in the kibbutz Kadarim. Because, you know, today the kibbutzim, they have like places where they rent them or sell. I don't know how it works. And this guy, he wasn't stopped. He was talking
Arab
about
Jewish.
Arab. Nasrat, by the way, today, when you say Nasrat, you mean the Arab. Because Nasrat elite calls now Nof Ayalon, or what is it called? Change the name. So Nasrat today is Nasrat. What? Nof, I don't know what. I don't know what. Well, Nof something. They changed the name. Anyway, this guy is an Arab. Doesn't believe in God. He is 11 years married. No kids. Why? I'm not going to bring kids to this world. And I would prefer me not being born to this world as a human being. Like, this guy is a real Michiganer, and he's got, like, he's very clever. Don't do any mistake, he's very clever. And this all comes from this philosophy. You know, you're thinking to yourself, the Sefer Kuzari, talking about the philosophy behind the believing, and then you think to yourself, what is an atheist? What is Amalek? And I met him. Like, this guy, now he's trying to convince us to eat not kosher. He sees the kippah and come there with the kippah, with the tzitzis outside. I must invite you for a meal. Says, okay, but you know, nah, nonsense. There is no God. There is the kosher. Those smug. Yeah, I must invite you. I said, no, we're not angry. We already ate before we went. We were very angry, but you know, I was so angry. And you know, this guy is not stopping. And he wants to show off all the time how clever he is and how wise he is. And I was thinking to myself, look, we're talking about Amalek. Not understanding what really is Amalek. Timachot, Timchet, Zecher Amalek, B'tach HaShemayim, Milchama LaHashem Amalek, Midor Lidor. And you think to yourself, what's up? So I suddenly understood, what is Amalek? Now, this guy is very clever. And if somebody hasn't got, let's say, a strong belief, he can convince him to go to the other side. That's what was happening with Am Yisrael. And it's happening all the time, unfortunately. So just this is like I told you that I met Amalek. By the way, on the way back...
I didn't care about all this talking, I care about the money.
I just let him talk, you know. My son was afraid that I'm going to answer him. Because, you know, if somebody starts with me with this, I... But I said to myself... By the way, there was no reason to talk with him. Because the guy was really so... So impressed with himself that, you know, you couldn't talk with him. You know, this guy doesn't care about anything. He also knows him. Him and his wife, and no kids. And, you know, I'm thinking about all the things he was talking about. I was very glad, and he didn't finish. I was like, Sam, I've got to meet another meeting, I have to go. You know, for quite a few hours we were there. Mm-hmm. Then, on the way back, very interesting, we stopped in Kfar Gid'on, I think. It's near Afula. And I don't know the place. And it's time for, you know, we're so many hours of Mincha and Maariv. So anyway, Mincha took the, we stopped in this small shul there, synagogue. They had going to make, have Mincha in 20 to 4, not that. We've been there also for, I think, 2 hours still. But then something interesting happened. They had a shul on Kil'ayim. And they are all...
farmers.
They are farmers. And you know, it was so interesting. To sit from one side, I come from this Amalek, and now sit and see people, Haredim, by the way, Chabadnikim and the blonde beards, that they are farmers. And they're talking about Kilayim like this is Alacha Lemaaseh. It's not something like we learn, we don't understand what we're talking about, and it doesn't talk to us. This guy are really practicing it. And it was really an unbelievable, like I said, okay, Baruch Hashem, God at least gave me like to end the day in a nice way. But this is exactly the point. This is the fight with Amalek. We see Am Yisrael getting out of Egypt, seeing all those miracles and complaining all the time. You know, it's, and you can understand what's happening. That's the Amalek. The Amalek in the end of the parasha is teaching us. It's not easy. Vayi b'shalach paro. What is Vayi b'shalach paro? Who sent Am Yisrael out of Egypt? Pharaoh? Who sent Am Yisrael? God. And it's very clearly that God. So why is the Torah telling us Vayi b'shalach paro et ha'am? One of our big problems is that sometimes we think that we do something. Now this Pharaoh thinks that he sent Am Yisrael out. And by the way, this is the reason that then he reconsiders what he did and he is chasing Am Yisrael. And this is what happens sometimes to us. We think that we do something, that we control, we have anything to do about it. And here we have to think about and understand that this is not an easy thing. And sometimes what do? We do like, we can decide for ourselves, so we do compromises. I'm going to be very strict on this, and if I'm very strict on this, so I can play around with the other things. And we do it all the time. You know, people something, if I'm, let's say, daven every day 3 times, so I can allow myself to do other things. And it's a wrong thinking, because you have to try to do as much as you can. Now, if you're not successful, okay, that's a different problem. But you cannot compromise. And you see, you come sometimes to people that they decide, they are very strict about the mitzvah. I never forget that there was this shul in Jerusalem, never mind what its name is, and there were all strange things happening in this shul. Not exactly an ultra-Orthodox shul. It is an Orthodox shul, by the way. But anyway, now, one of my friends is a Kohen, Phil Kaplan, by the way, somebody who knows him.
Yes.
He normally goes as a Kohen without socks. Without shoes, of course, but without socks. And he went there in the shul, he's been there, and he went without socks. And somebody came afterwards and told him, tell him off. You know, here, we go only with socks. And I was laughing to myself, said, look at them. From one side, they do all those things that they're not supposed to do. From the other, very strict about the Kohen going on the Dachan without socks. And by the way, the Mikdash, that's what they did. They didn't go with socks. They went barefoot. So anyway, this is sometimes the things that we do. We try to compromise in the wrong places. And that's the wrong thing to do.
But isn't there a lesson that a Kohen had,
can't go barefoot.
That's but that's not the point.
No, no, it's okay. There is kvod hatzibur. There is an. But it's not. But by the way, a kohen has got more problem going barefoot. But there are places that say kvod hatzibur.
I mean, a kohen can't go on.
Why not? If it's not, if the reason I'm saying the halacha says, and halacha you have, you know, you've got the books of halacha, and then downstairs you've got all those points. So when you look at the points, you find a lot of very strange things. For example, aleinu shabeach. When you say aleinu shabeach, when you say baruch, what are you supposed to do? How? Sitting or standing?
Standing.
So I must say, if you look at the oh, if you look at the halacha, you will find strange things. You find that you don't have to stand up and bow. You can do it from a sitting position.
Yeah,
and but from one side, when you read the halacha, you have to stand, you think. But then you look at the other thing, and you find out that it's not so clear. So the same thing, what were you talking about? The Kohanim going barefoot. So the original minhag was barefoot. Because that's the way the Kohanim used to work. There shouldn't be nothing between them and the earth. Nothing.
A carpet.
What?
A carpet. You can't stand on the ground. You have to have a carpet.
Okay.
But
I'm not going into the carpet because the temple they also didn't have carpets. Okay, they were barefoot on the stone. What it was there, I think.
I can't remember.
Yes, you don't remember. Okay, you maybe Bezrat Hashem Mashiach will come and you will remember. You have a big job to do there. All the Levim, and also the Kohanim, of course. And so, the Halacha says, if you look at it, it says, Bipnei Kvod HaTzibur. It's not like, for example, a talis. A chazan in Ashkenaz, like they wear talis all the time. And yet the Yekes, they have talis in every prayer. Shachrit, Mincha, Maariv. The Sfaradim don't have it. Because they don't have this minhag. But why do the Ashkenazim have the talis as and shachrit and mincha and mariv? Because kvod hatzibur. That's the reason, kvod hatzibur. And the same reason is for the kohen, for example, kvod hatzibur, why? Maybe the kohen comes with like a stinking foot, who knows what. You know, he's going to take his socks down and everybody's going to smell his smelly foot, whatever. So, but this law, as you see, it's not... It's more as a minhag. So if there are place, there is no problem with barefoot. So we go for this, Philip goes for, I think, whatever I remember, never ever I saw him with socks going up. So to take one of a lachat that is more as a minhag and take it like a must that you're not allowed to go against it, and then other things that are much less worse, you see, I tell you what's written. It's unbelievable. The vidui that we say on Yom Kippur Katan is written like this. And et asher ekalta echmarti, what you said, I can take it easy, you, I made it stronger. I was like a tzaddik. Ve asher echmarta ekalti. And what you said that you're not allowed to do, I did an akal, I did it, I was more... Let's say lenient with it. Okay, so this is a little strange because I understand asher echmarta ekalti. That I can understand what you said that you have to be, let's say, on top of it and be very strong about it. And I compromise, so I understand that's wrong. But where you said I can compromise and I take on me to do it much better, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? If you think about it, that's a vidui. It's written. It's a little strange, but that's exactly the point. Human mind works very simple. You know, you tell to yourself, okay, I'm a machmir here, so I can bear a makel here. Okay, I can, if I'm so strong in one side of a certain mitzvah, so I can do a compromise in the other mitzvah, which of course is not right. It's wrong. Now what's happening is, so we understand that Pharaoh thinks he is the one who is doing anything, but he does nothing. Then, ולא נחם אלוקים דרך ארץ פלישתים כי קרובו. What's the meaning, כי קרובו? What is the problem? Why don't take Am Yisrael in the short way? Why you take them in a long way? What is the problem? פן, ינחם העם בראותם מלחמה ושבו מצרימה. And again, you have to understand. מצרים, 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 all the time. The meaning is, it's not the state מצרים. It's not the place מצרים. It's a state of mind, let's put it this way. It's a spiritual thing. In other words, Mitzrayim is the tumah, impurity. That's Mitzrayim. And that's why it's called Yetziat Mitzrayim, or Yetziat Mimitzrayim. Now, every time that we have a problem in life, and we try to find our way around it. So sometimes we do the right thing, sometimes we do the wrong thing. Now, the idea is very simple. When you see a problem in front of you, not always you can deal with it. You know, Yetzer Hara is very strong. If you have an option to do a sin and mother, to have, let's say, enjoy life, which is not exactly right halachically, but it's good for my body, it's good for my desire. So here, you try to compromise. You try to find a way how you can do it, and sometimes, even if you don't find a way, you do it. So in other words, one of the suggestions that all the Dolea Musar give us, don't confront Yetzer Hara. Don't confront him. Don't go against him. Go around him. Be wise, be clever. Get away from him. So that is what God is doing. They are going to be close to all the impurity of all the nations that live there. And maybe they will think to themselves, you know, as we see all the time, by the way, that it doesn't help everybody. They all always want to go back to Egypt because they had fun. And you have to understand, the idea is very simple. They know that now they're going to come back to Egypt as kings, as princes. Why? After all the miracles that God did, you see, this is the way, you see, to take the plus and you make it minus. They, instead of using the miracles of God in the right way, and going in the right way, they're using the miracles of God in order to work for the Yetzer Hara. That's Pharaoh. That's Amalek. Well, Amalek knows about God. We say in Shirat Hayam all the time, Az nivalu alofe Edom, Elei Moav yochaze Morag, Namogu kol yoshver Chnan, Tipol alehem emata vapachad. They're all frightened. And this Amalek, he didn't hear about it? Of course he heard. But this is the Amalek. He goes again. He doesn't care. He wants something. I'm going to do it. I don't care what's going to happen later on. I don't think about it. Now I want to enjoy life. Now I want to do what I want to do. And that's unfortunately something that happened. So God, in order to prevent from this nation, that by the way, later on, had to stay in the desert for 40 years in order to correct their ways, or let's put it this way, they are not going to go in anyway, only the second generation, because they were so involved in being slaves in Egypt, in being in all this impurity, that they couldn't go over it, even with all the miracles and everything going on, till the point that who is going really into Eretz Israel eventually? The second generation. They are not going in. So in other words, there is a problem. So that's why God takes them and goes them all around in order not to see what's happening there. And this is what we call temptations. Or our problem in life is immediate gratification. That's life. And there is, I don't know if I told you about it, they did a test. And I checked that it is true, this test. Because, you know, when I see a source, I always try to... Especially when you go to Google, you know, Dr. Google, Professor Google, Rabbi Google, is not always right. So we have to took a few sources and compare and then get the general idea. The general idea was very simple. They did a psychology test. They took kids between the age 2 and 4, put them in a room. They call it marshmallow test. If somebody knows it, it's a very famous test. The marshmallow test is that you take the kids into a room and you give them a marshmallow, and you tell them, it can be any other sweet, of course, and you tell them that if they're going to hold on, they're going to get 2 or 3. Now, if they want to eat it, before they eat it, they should ring a bell. And they did it, and most of the kids couldn't stand the temptation. Some of them, just the minute that the guy went out, just ate the marshmallow. Others... 1 minute later, rang the bell and ate it. And there were only few that stood against it. What did they do? How did they manage what the other didn't? They were going around singing. They were trying not to look at the marshmallow. They were doing all those things in order not to get into contact with Yetzer Hara. Now, they did this test. And afterwards, they wanted to look what's happening with those kids later on in life. And they found out an unbelievable thing. All those who couldn't stand the temptation and just ate the marshmallow, they had a lot of problems in life. הפרעות הקשב וריכוז, they couldn't concentrate right, they couldn't, and they really were not very successful. And those who managed, they were very successful. But then, it's not the end of the test. They found out that the test was not exactly fair. Because what kids did they take? All the kids of the, let's say, the lecturers and thing, and it's not the same thing. You see, the thing is, standing in temptation is depends where you come from. You know, if your parents don't care about what you're doing, so of course you will be short in temptation and you will do. But if you are being educated from a small age, what they did is they took all the kids of the professors and the doctors and did the same test. And the results were completely different. So the test, from one point of view, was not fair and was not right. But it was right. Because the big lesson from here was that, yes, you have to fight the temptation. But in order to do this, you have to be educated in the right way. In other words, if you're not educated, and you, it's not fair. That's not the way it works. So if you're being brought up in a home which the parents realize that to have this immediate satisfaction is not good for you, and we all know it's not good in life, because sometimes, you know, for those who smoke, for example, a lot of bad habits are from the same reason. So again, here we see what's happening if we are going confronting the problem. See, because what did the kids that didn't want to fall into the temptation, what did they do? They tried to avoid the marshmallow. They tried to avoid the problem. And that's what God is doing here. He is taking Am Yisrael around, not putting them in front of the temptation. That's what they say sometimes. You know, the Rambam says in Chot Shuvah that the best Shuvah is if you're in the same position, the same situation, and you don't do it. But we all know, we don't want to be in the same situation. Because who knows if we can go through it. And sometimes, unfortunately, we do the same mistake again. So the offer for, if you are in the level of the Rambam, okay, do whatever you want to. But most of our sages tell us, בתחבולות תעשה לך מלחמה. בתחבולות. Be wise, be clever. Try to go around it. Don't confront it because you are not so strong. That's what, by the way, Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Bo El Paro. He says, I'm going with you, because you by yourself, you cannot do this. Especially when I echbadetilti bo, when I harden this heart. So, you got no chance, unless you come with me. And that's something we have to understand always. We need the belief in God, that God is with us, because then it's much easier. So, okay. The Chamushim, by the way, Chamushim alu bnei Yisrael inside, that's what we were talking about, says Rashi, among others, echad mechamesh, other, and Rashi says very clearly that 20 were left in the darkness plague. And also, by the way, the darkness plague, I think we talked about it in the past, it's one of the beautiful explanations of the darkness plague is that it was a light, it wasn't dark. It was light, but a very strong light. Or let's say the light that comes from Bereshit. When the God created the world, he did this special light, which is a spiritual highlight. As for example, if you go in the middle of the night in a dark road and suddenly a truck comes in front of you with highlights, not enough, it's higher than you anyway, it's also with a highlight. What do you see?
Nothing.
But you have a lot of light. And this is the light that the Egyptian had. And that's why Am Yisrael could see. But the Egyptian couldn't see. Why couldn't they see? Because they're were in the dark because there were
too much light.
Too much light. They couldn't stand the light. They were blinded. And that's, by the way, the same thing story that was with the angel and Lot when the people came to the house and wanted to break the house. Vayaku otam besanverim. What is sanverim?
Blinded
them with a high light. And this is the reason that we see now that the whole idea is a spiritual idea. And the darkness is really those who could see, those who were sitting in the dark, well, those who were not believing in God, didn't have the light, so they were in the dark. It didn't matter if they were, let's for a Jewish origin, or they were going, because unfortunately, that's the way it works. Then, when we're talking about Egypt, going out of Egypt, Baruch Hashem, We have, by the way, on Tuesday there is a segula to say pa'amayim echad mikra sorry pa'amayim mikra v'echad targum for the segula of parashat Aman for Parnos. That's what they say on Tuesday. Pa'amayim kitov, say twice the what's written in the Torah, the mikra, and one the targum. But they said the targum today is the Rashi. You can say also the Rashi with it. What I do normally do every week anyway, I'm doing Mikra and I'm doing the Rashi and the Targum on Kodos. Anyway, that's for, we have Parashat Aman in our Parsha. We have also Shirat Hayam. We have a lot of beautiful things in our Parsha which are really to try and make us believe. Because one of the questions, for example, the Parashat Aman. Why did God give us every day one portion? Why not to give us for the whole week, or for the whole month, or for the whole year? Again, we come to the point of belief. The whole idea of our parasha is to make us believe in God to the point that nobody, even this Amalek that I met, he can be as clever as he is, he cannot convince me to change my mind. That's believing. That's the way. That's Shirat Hayam, by the way. In Shirat Hayam, what was holding Am Yisrael in Tov'im? Tovim, drowning in the Teva. Teva is Tovaya, Teva. Who was drowning in the Teva? Those who didn't believe in God, the Egyptian. Who was being saved? He says, Ve'amayim lahem choma miminam umismolam. But the mayim should be Hayam lahem choma, because they were in the ocean, they were in the sea. So it should be written, the sea was like a wall from right and left. But it's not written the sea, the water. What is water? Torah. What is giving us the fence against all temptation is the Torah. Then you go on solid ground in the everything that's happening around you. What is giving you the power? The Torah. That's Shirat Hayam, unbelievable. And then we have also Parashat Aman, which they say the Segula. By the way, to understand the Segula is very easy, very simple. The Segula is to understand what you're reading. It's not, I see all the people read, they don't even understand what they're reading. That's not Segula. The Segula is the idea to understand that everything is from God. That's the fight against Pharaoh and against Amalek. And if we fulfill this fight, then we can see miracles unbelievable happening to us. God, and with this we end this show, God gave us the Geula, but that's not the final Geula. And we have to understand, the idea is very simple. It's like this guy, the Magid Midumna, writes a very interesting story. It's like this guy was very rich, and he had a kid. He wanted him to go on with his business, but he knew that if he's going to put him right on top as a manager, the business is going to go mahol. And that's what happened, by the way. A lot of times when you put somebody in a position of being a manager, controlling everything, when he didn't have any experience from coming from down and growing up. But this guy was clever. So what did he do? He sent his kid to one of the far places that he had a plant there, and he asked the manager of this plant to work him out as a simple worker. And then after years, he will take him out from there, and then he was going to... What was happening is that the son really forgot in the years that he is really the son of the boss, the big boss. And unfortunately, also the boss there forgot that this is the son of the boss. And he tried to, and he he did over and over again. He was like really controlling him, enslaving him. Like, it got to the position that he was really suffering. So he's sending a message to his father. Father, is this your idea? What's happening here? When his father heard what's happening, he rushed there, took the plane, came there and got, and he said, what's going on here? And of course, he took this guy and threw him out. And he took his son and took him out from this place. And where did he put him? He didn't give him round this management position. No, he put him in a different factory. There he gave him a better job, but still, he had to work his way up. It was not the end. But this now, the guy knew, I've got my father. And whatever is going to be too difficult, my father is going to be there to help me. And don't forget for a minute that what I'm doing now is going to train me to get and do the job in the best way I can. So it's very good for me to go through this experience and do those things. And that's exactly what God did with us. God put us in Egypt in order to build us as a nation. Then he took us out from Egypt. But it's not the end of the story. He took us out in Egypt because Pharaoh was doing it, let's say, in a way that it was not tolerant by God. And so that's it. Batal zakatam. And they cried to God. So he came and saved them, took them out. But he took them out and threw them to the Zedar and bring us, Baruch Hashem, here back to Eretz Israel. But that's not the end. We are still learning and trying to go over things and building ourselves in order